Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I'm Greta Johnson. We did it. We made it to another weekend. Coming up, we are going to play Burden or Delight with two of my most favorite people.
Never a burden, always a delight.
But first, I want to introduce you to an upcoming segment that I am super excited about. Do you ever wish that you could call a chef for help when you fuck up in the kitchen? Like last week, I had this plan to make a batch of cookies, and I realized too late that I only had 160 grams of like white cane sugar left when the recipe called for 200 grams. Luckily, I had three other types of sugar, but what would be best? Powdered sugar, brown sugar, or turbinado sugar? That is just the sort of question that the kitchen shrink can tackle.
I'm Tamara Adler, and I am a cookbook writer, and I am also, as of pretty recently, the kitchen shrink, which is a column where I answer culinary queries from far and wide.
Tamar has been on the show before. She wrote a book in 2011 called An Everlasting Meal, which completely changed the way I think about food and cooking. So I was really excited to get to interview her last year when her Everlasting Meal cookbook came out. These days, Tamar has a newsletter. It is called The Kitchen Shrink. And there she tackles all sorts of questions like, what sugar could I substitute to make my cookies?
Either turbinado or brown would have been great. And if you had used brown, it actually would have had that like slightly molassesy flavor and maybe been a little bit softer. So like if you're a crisp cookie person, the brown sugar might have let you down.
I find this very validating because indeed I did decide to use the turbinado sugar. But we are super excited because we are going to bring the kitchen shrink to you, Nerdette listeners. Tamar is here for you. She is ready to answer all of your culinary questions, whether they are on the literal side, like about the sugar, or if they're more philosophical, that's great too.
Somebody just wrote, here's my Zen question. How do I make time to cook? One woman said, how do I heal my relationship with my kitchen? One that I had to research a little bit about the little green germ in the inside of a garlic clove and whether one has to remove it. Somebody else wrote me recently and was like, I have a bunch of freezer-bitten frozen tomatoes. You know, I need a technical answer, and those are great. But I also think that, you know, the way you respond in the kitchen is kind of like the way you respond in life. And so I love when questions, get a little bit further afield. Like, how do I have an image of my house being like warm and full of laughter and full of steam from, you know, hot cooked things. And I don't know how to get from like me solo in my kitchen to that.
So next time you are stuck in the kitchen, or maybe you're sitting on a burning question already, send us a voice memo. You could also DM us or write us an email, whatever mode works for you. And Tamara and I both really want you to get creative.
Yeah, send all questions our way. And another thing, I think, because people will be listening, I think if people can describe how flat a flat cake is, or like what the frozen tomatoes really look like or smell like, those are really good cues that will help us solve their culinary mysteries.
Our email address is nerdettepodcast@gmail.com. We can't wait to hear from you. After the break, we are going to play Burden or Delight.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today, we are going all in on our favorite game, Burden or Delight, with two excellent humans. With us this week is the host of CityCast Chicago, Jacoby Cochran. Jacoby, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be back.
Yay, happy to have you. Also here is culture writer and faculty at Not Sorry Productions, Margaret Willison. Margaret, hello.
Greta, always a joy to be here.
Yay, always a joy to have you.
Never a burden, always a delight.
Always.
So, a friend recently misremembered this game as Blessing or Regret, and I can't stop thinking about it.
Gosh.
So good.
I ask that about bad relationships from the past all the time.
I know, right? So yeah, a blessing to be with you here as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in case y'all have not come across this game, it is very simple. There are no stakes at all. Generally, we're just going to talk about a couple of topics and decide whether they are a burden or a delight. And I want to start with Sourdough Starter because I am literally 4 years late to this party, but I got some starter over the weekend and I'm feeding it and I'm not totally sure what's happening. It does seem to be like alive. It smells kind of funny in a kind of exquisite way. Mm-hmm. Jacoby, I would really love your take on this one. Sourdough, burden or delight for you?
I would really love for you to break down some of the basic terminology you're using. You just said alive, feeding it. Of course, I have also seen sourdough TikTok over the last four years. But I don't know if I'm mostly interested in the final product. And at this point in like the TikTok algorithm, people put the final product first. So you don't actually have to stay through the whole video. You just see the bread at the beginning. You're like, dang, that looks good. What do you mean you're feeding it? What does that even mean?
So that sounds like you're talking about like a potential for delight then. With the final product, right?
There is a potential for delight. I am going to go burden because, again, off top, I don't even know the terminology you're using. And then I saw this story earlier this week with this woman who lived in Colorado. She's 69 years old. Her name was Mary Buckingham. And her and another volunteer for years have sent people like sourdough starter. They say it's like the old pioneer tradition of giving good sourdough to anyone who wanted it. Apparently,
so you did your homework.
Somebody who got it put it up on TikTok, it went viral, and now this woman has had 7,000 requests in the last month, more than she typically gets in a year. Oh, and so that sounds burdensome as well. I do got a friend who made gray sourdough, but even that process sounds cumbersome.
Yeah. Well, so to answer your question, Jacoby, I got like just a little dollop of starter, and the way you feed it is you're supposed to, at least this is what I was told, I'm feeding it once a day for 4 days and leaving it out overnight on the counter. And feeding it is just equal parts flour and water, and I stir it in. But then every time I feed it, I have to get rid of half of that. And that I could use to bake with if I want, but at this point I don't have enough. Once I get past those 4 days, I can put it in the fridge, and then I feed it once a week. And then the discard I have could become like sourdough pancakes or crackers or biscuits or bread or whatever. But
bro, that sounds like a goldfish. That sounds like too much responsibility.
Yeah, look. This is something that stayed with me for a really long time. I saw a meme that said like a great gift to give to an enemy is a houseplant because you've just given them a chore as a gift. And that's my attitude to houseplants, right? That's separate even from this sort of feed me Seymour situation we're describing here. What I would say is I think someone giving you, Greta, a sourdough starter is a delight for
is
me.
Is a burden. Oh, is
right?
a delight.
I would receive one as a burden. Perfect. But if someone that's wants sweet. To give it to one of my roommates, pure delight for me. Because what that means is I'm more likely to receive sourdough finisher or bread. Right?
Right.
But I don't want to be messing around with the starter. I'm really, I have trophy wife cooking skills. Like I can arrange things really beautifully on a platter. Right. But beyond that, my prep skills don't really go, and they certainly don't extend all the way back to like nurturing this like tiny yeast alien.
Yeah, it is a tiny yeast alien.
Yeah. I mean, again, to me, already a burden. You're giving
that
description.
I'm glad you're reiterating that.
I think Jacoby
Margaret,
and I were both just sitting here shaking our heads as you were describing that burden.
I gotta feed it four times,
four times
over the week.
And then you gotta remember to not feed it.
Every time I feed it, I gotta cut it in half. I gotta break it down.
Too much.
I know.
You keep Audrey 2 for yourself.
I'm on a journey. Okay, so I feel like we can't not talk about this article from the New York Times style section. Love the New York Times style section. This time, the headline is Why Pants Are So Big Again. And it's about how wide leg pants are back and millennials are panicking. Jacoby, you're doing a happy dance. Margaret, how do you feel about this one? Burden or delight?
Oh my God, pure delight.
Pure delight.
I'm a millennial who grew up watching Katharine Hepburn movies, right? So, like, my platonic ideal of a pant is, like, a wide-legged trouser that either she or Gene Kelly would wear. And, like, now I can buy those at Madewell. And they don't look weird and costumey, and they aren't made out of, like, crummy nylon fabric. They're made out of, like, nice cotton tensile stuff. So I'm totally in favor. But I'm also in favor of, if it stresses you out, don't do it. No one's making you millennials. Like, go quietly into that good night. You're old now.
Well, but part of the problem is there are fewer and fewer skinny jean options for those of us who do want to stick with that. And that is the part that has become burdensome for me personally. But I don't know. I think what I need to do is just, like, go back and re-embrace the 1996 version of myself that bought some, like, obscenely wide leg pants from Delia's.
Yeah, get some JNCOs.
They were, like, super skater girl pants that, like, I was not that vibe, but I fucking loved those pants to the point where, like, my classmates were like, hey, you wear those pants a lot.
Yeah. Huh? And I think in your defense, the stores never stopped selling mom jeans when they were, to my mind, the most embarrassing thing you could possibly put on your body, right? Which would have been, like, my opinion between, like, 19 and 22. And now I'm like, this is all I want to put on my body.
Yeah, yeah.
But they never stopped selling them. So I feel like Old Navy is going to have your back forever. Like, Old Navy knows you don't want to change.
What do you think, Jacoba? Did you ever wear skinny jeans? I was trying to, like, picture you in skinny jeans, and I couldn't do it.
Now, I'm low-key very grateful for this return to sort of 90s, early 2000s franchise boys pants. Because personally, I couldn't do the skinny jeans or the Hoochie Daddy shorts, mostly because I got a lot of ass and a whole bunch of thighs, and it just don't work. Yeah. And so for a comfort perspective, I own a few pair of wide-legged khakis, a few some wide-legged slacks, some, like, distressed denim, and they look amazing. About 2-3 years ago, I was at my homie's Darius' house, and he has some younger cousins who were there. And me and Darius, we like to think we have some nice clothes. And they looked at our pants, and they was just like, y'all got dad jeans. And what we heard in that moment is basically, you got to make a choice. It's, you got to go skinny or you got to go wide. But if you stay in sort of that relaxed fit, it does not make a statement. So for either way, practical, comfort, or even fashion, I am embracing sort of the wide leg. I'm not going to go, like, super, like, I'll go maybe late 90s wide leg, but maybe not like 1970s funk.
Where you could, like, climb inside of them.
We're not parachuting. Right. Ages,
right. You don't want to smuggle any, like, monkeys on your calves into any businesses.
No.
Oh my God, what evocative imagery, Margaret. I love it.
My brain is what it is, Greta. I can do nothing else.
It's perfect. It's perfect. Okay, so here's another one. We got this. It's a very specific scenario. It's from a Nerd Out listener, but I love it. In their case, they were talking about the Apple TV Plus show For All Mankind, which, like, she had been watching it for quite some time. And her partner came into the room and sat down and watched one of the episodes with her and liked it enough that he was like, oh, this should be an us show now. And she didn't frame it as burden or delight, but when she mentioned it, I was like, oh, this is absolutely a burden or delight situation because, like, you know, here you are. It's exciting to get to, like, share something that you like with, you know, your partner or roommate or whoever. But also that means that you have to, like, wait for their schedule. Also, you can't just, like, go binge it on a random day when they're off doing whatever. So what do y'all think? Burden or delight on this one?
I am split. If it is a 20 to 30 minute comedy, it is a delight, especially if I'm only, for example, Abbott Elementary. I was already into season 2. My partner and I seen it. So we went back and her and I loved rewatching the first season.
Yes,
it is very quick.
Pleasure.
The storyline you're invested in, but it doesn't have you, like, on the edge of your seat.
Right.
For All Mankind, when we met, luckily, we were both already caught up on the show. We absolutely loved it. So we just picked it up together and binged it. But if we're talking like a 45 minute to an hour drama.
Yeah.
If you've already finished it and we rewatch it, delight.
Right.
But if I'm 3 seasons in, I can't go back and do 22 hours of television to get back to this point of just my heart is invested. Like, think about season 3 for all mankind.
I know, especially for all mankind, like, since they do the decade time jumps at the end of every season. Like, you can't ask me to go back 30
years. We on Mars at this point.
Exactly.
You know, and where did this man get this gun from? Hold on. I'm over these kids. I get it, your parents was heroes. They got statues. I'm over it. Deal with your shit. Right?
Oh my God.
I can't go back and do 22 hours of that. And so it is definitely split, mm-hmm, burden and delight.
I think the length of the show makes a lot of sense with that. And the other thing about Abbott, I recently went back and started watching with my mom because she had never seen it. And like, it starts great. You know, it's not, mm-hmm, like one of those sitcoms where like they needed a season to kind of find their footing. Like, out the gate, it's amazing.
Yeah. The same Parks and Rec. We coming out swinging.
I completely agree. I think my split would be different, which is basically just like, are they down with rewatching or not? And then I also think this is a very different question. Like, if you live with your partner, that's one thing, right? But like, I don't live with my partner. I only see him a couple of days a week, right? Like, am I gonna not watch all 8 episodes of The Diplomat on Netflix? Am I just gonna like pace myself? Like, if he's okay with me watching all of it and then just going back and rewatching with him, I'm happy to do it. Right. But if that's not something he can get on board with, it's like, babe, I'm going to take this down in a weekend. I'm not waiting 2 to 3 months until we can do it together. Like, that's not reasonable. That's not fair.
Taylor looked me right in the face and said, every show can be our show. And I said, understood.
Every show can't be our show. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, you have to agree on it and then it's fine. Margaret, I love the idea of taking on the burden of watching The Diplomat on your own time and then pretending like you haven't seen the episodes.
I wouldn't pretend. I'm not a good liar. But I can be like, I don't mind rewatching things, right? And I'm not one of those people who's like watching you watch the thing. I'm not like, oh my God, babe, you can't be on your phone right now because something really important is about to happen.
Oh yeah, no, that's a lot.
I'll pause the TV on you. No, I will pause the show. No, go ahead. Send a tweet. Send it. Go, you got time. Mm-hmm. You got time.
Did you want to make some tea? You can go do that.
No. I found a pause or two. They don't pause it on me.
Oh my God. That's really funny. Another one that I thought would be really fun to talk about, especially with you two, is the idea of canceling plans. Because as an extreme introvert, I usually go hard on the delight side of this.
Yeah, sure. And a Taurus.
But and a Taurus. Sense.
Yeah.
I'm usually thrilled. Like, even if it's happened a couple times lately for some reason where like an interview we had scheduled, like they just don't show up on the Zoom. And even then, like 5 minutes in, I'm elated. I'm like, oh, great.
I got my
this
time
is
back.
Wonderful. Another person I don't have to talk to today. But I was really curious about you. Jacoby, are you an introvert?
I am someone who is introvert with high social skills.
Okay, yeah. I call myself a chatty introvert.
Yeah, and I'm also like a performer. And so it's when I say it out loud, it sounds really messed up. But I'm like the kind of person who's like, I would like to just go out, sort of perform, do my piece, and then just like slink at the back door. I actually hosted an event, quick story, earlier this, maybe it was last week, I hosted an event, and the president of the org came up to me. She was like, can we hang out after we have an after party? And I was just like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to go up there. I'm about to rock it. It's going to be amazing. And then a bunch of people are going to come up to you and go, Where's Jacoby? And I'm going to tell you now, I won't be here. I'm going to be gone. It's an absolute delight if plans get canceled. Let's be real. I can be fully changed. I could be ready to walk out the door. I could be in the Uber on the way. It's going to immediately turn into that. The Uber driver, where are you going? I'm going home. Right? Song playing in the background. Absolute delight. Like, unless it's my family, I'm on my way to see my mom and she's like, oh, I can't right now. Other than that, I'm sorry. It's
always a delight. That's so funny.
There's always a 40-minute YouTube video that I could be watching right now.
Okay, so Margaret, you are then the most gregarious of the three of us.
Sure.
I hope, Jacoby, that's a fair assessment. What do you think of this one?
My feelings are canceling plans a delight unless there are tickets involved, and then it's a huge burden. Right, because I hate to let a ticket go to waste. I hate it.
Yeah, that's
and so I'm going to be
if
like...
If there was investment ahead, if there
for
was...
Sure.
Right,
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be like texting friends. I'm going to be debating in my head, like, do I post this on Instagram and tragically find out the like four people I don't want to spend time with are all free tonight? Right. Like, because it's like I go down one of those two paths. I'm either just like texting everybody. And and in that circumstance, that's a burden. But otherwise.
Yeah, that is a burden.
Pretty uniformly a delight. Just like, I am in Taurus Gemini cusp. So, you know, I have warring energy inside of me, which means I'm always going to choose to go out. Right. But when the choice to stay in is forced upon me, I'm going to be like, oh, my God.
You embrace.
I can just lie in my bed. I can just bed rot. Amazing.
Bed rot. No, there's got to be a better way of framing that. My
Look,
friend.
Bed rot is an accepted terminology. Right. It's the new goblin mode, Greta.
Oh my God. Okay, so speaking of tickets and Instagram, I wasn't planning on bringing this up with y'all, but I am haunted
by it.
Bonus
topic. Mm-hmm.
So this dude on Instagram, a reel came up in my feed the other day.
I'm sorry. Isn't that already terrifying? A dude on Instagram.
Yes, yeah. It is.
That's already
scary.
A horror film.
His back is to the camera. He's standing in front of a lake or something. He like jumps around and he's like,
hey, I'm Adam and I have two tickets to see Taylor Swift in Paris on May 9th and I'm looking to bring a date.
He's like, he's an elopement photographer. And so he sees couples and loves all the time and he's ready for his love story.
No.
And so he wants to know who's going to go see Taylor Swift with him in Paris.
This isn't a hoax. You'd have a few months to get to know each other and hopefully sparks fly. So if in your wildest dreams you were hoping to find somebody in a fun romantic way, then I wish you would say hi because maybe this could be our love story. So just say yes.
Margaret, I'm so delighted, especially by your reaction, because I know you are a Swiftie.
I am a
Swiftie. Very intensely.
I have also regularly described myself as America's most kidnappable woman because like I would fall for so much, Greta. But even I, with so few like safety protection filters, I'm listening to the story and I'm like, absolutely not.
Mm-mm, right?
This man is going to turn you into like a lamp. No. No. And even if he isn't, you have to talk with him.
Even if he had the best of intentions, he's trying way too hard.
Right?
You know?
No, I don't want to talk with this person. That's a simple fact.
No, it's too late, Greta. You already framed it a certain way. You can't go, even if he has good intentions. Ain't no benefit of the doubt. When you standing at that lake and you popped up and turned around.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm out.
And you solicited a date to the entire internet. Nope.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Unless a poorly produced Netflix dating show is sort of keeping you boosted up for 20 hours out of a day and forcing you into awkward interactions, I probably won't be watching this much longer.
Right. Like, will I watch how this unfolds? Like,
I know. I was
riveted.
Like, oh, I need
riveted.
To read the responses in the feed.
I'll watch the stitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put you. We'll put. The stitches will be.
Oh my God.
The stitches will certainly be the best part.
It will be better.
It's so wild. Okay, good. Well, full burden on that one. Well, I have to say, my friends, this was both a blessing and a delight to have you on. Thank you so much for coming.
It was a joy to be here, Greta. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. And thank you for introducing me to Margaret. I appreciate you both.
And thank you for introducing me to Jacoby.
All right, that's it for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening. Like I said at the top of the episode, we would love to hear about your kitchen quandaries and mysteries and dilemmas. Just send us a voice memo at nerdatpodcast@gmail.com or DM us on social media. We cannot wait to hear from you. Nerdette is produced by me and Anna Mowen at WBEZ in Chicago and is part of the NPR network. And our executive producer is Brendan Banaszak. We will see you next week.
So we didn't even get to the Taylor Swift part of the video. I was still stuck at quick jump lake spin.
Yeah,
I know, right? I was like, I don't think it's actually about Taylor Swift at all.
I wouldn't even got to the tickets. As soon as it popped up, I would have went, boom, report. Not even not interested or mute, report.
Oh my God.
I love that degree of proactivity. Like, thank you for protecting us, Jacoby.
Oh my God, amazing.
You saw something and you said something. This is the one circumstance where I support it.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.